Hi, welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly market and economic outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by our two senior client portfolio management leaders, Glenn Dorsey and Pete Eisenrich. They'll be taking a look at our five economic gauges and their implications for the markets. Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for being here with us today. But with that, Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Patty. We have two changes that we made to the gauges. One was to improve one gauge, which was the investor sentiment gauge, and one was to bring one gauge a notch back, which was the monetary policy gauge. So Pete, why don't you start us off and let's talk about the economic gauge.
Yeah, the economic gauge is one that we kept in its current position, probably one of our most important gauges that we look at, and that's in the half forward position, which from our perspective means we expect above trend growth to continue as we end 2021 and move into 2022. If we think about the first half of the year, the first quarter was 6.3% GDP growth. The second quarter is coming in about 6.7%. So really strong first half. And one of our bigger themes and bigger thoughts as we moved into 2021 was probably a little better first half and kind of really good news and a little, you know, more volatile the second half of the year. We're expecting less GDP growth in the second half. And that's looks like what it's running at. We'll obviously have to wait several weeks before we get the first read of third quarter GDP. But it seems like things like the Delta variant, some of the, you know, discord out of Washington, D.C., some of those things have started to take a little bit of the wind out of the sails of the economy, but to be expected. I mean, we can't, as our economy grow, you know, north of 6% for an extended period of time. So I've kind of been saying, you know, it feels like that V-shaped recovery, you know, everybody always wants to know the shape. We might be starting to head into that square root portion. We're probably heading more towards trend here over the next several quarters, but we do still expect above trend growth ending this year and probably early into next year.
As we've always said, the economic gauge is important because the economy drives earnings, earnings drive stock prices, and consistent with what we saw on the GDP front, we've seen the same thing on the earnings front and expect the same thing on the earnings front. So Q1 operating earnings for the S&P 500 were up 143% year over year. Second quarter slowed down to 94%, if you can call that a slowdown. Growth year over year. And then the third quarter and fourth quarter are sort of plus or minus 30% growth. So that's starting to normalize as well. Unemployment has continued to drift down. We got down to 5.2% unemployment, and there continue to be more jobs available than unemployed people right now. So we expect over time, as concerns about the Delta variant go away, childcare issues go away, extended benefits for unemployment go away, we expect that unemployment rate to continue to drift down. So in terms of the next gauge we have is monetary policy gauge, which we did bring back one notch to a half forward position. And the reason we're doing that is the Fed is likely to announce this quarter, and specifically probably the Fed meeting that ends on November 3rd, that the tapering process is going to begin. So what we mean by that is the Federal Reserve has been buying $120 billion a month in treasury and mortgage-backed securities. We expect them to start to reduce that on a systematic basis, which everyone's going to refer to as tapering. So if they do, you know, $10 to $15 billion a month, sometime in the latter part of next year, the tapering will be done. And then they can look to start to tap on the brake pedal, which would be when they raise rates. So Pete?
Yeah, and you know, I think everybody's been talking about that tapering. You know, we first thought we might hear something about it at the Jackson Hole Symposium in August. Then really the target was September that we would hear something from Chairman Powell. It was interesting, the September FOMC meeting, where there was a feeling that they were a little bit more hawkish than they had been in the past. So what that means is, okay, they might be ready to head down this path, as Glenn was saying, to tapering, but then they still didn't announce the tapering. So that is in our future. That is why we brought that gauge back one notch. We do think it is something we will see develop late this year. But remember, if we think about the course of events, the Fed, as Glenn was saying, is buying $120 billion a month currently. That is still the way it is. And, you know, you kind of look at the math and kind of try to figure out, you know, middle of 2022 is when many people think they'll finish the tapering. We'll have to see what the actual dates are. But we're going to be close to kind of what, remember good old QE2 back in the day? I mean, the amount they're going to buy over the next 6 or 8 months is still going to be a huge amount. We still have to remember there's a lot of stimulus happening in the economy from the central bank. Interest rates are likely not going anywhere while they're in this tapering program. So we do think the course of events will be getting through the tapering, and then it's the discussion about what they do with interest rates and what they do with policy rates, which I think is what a lot of people focus on. So I always kind of tell people, you know, we're kind of shifting, you know, we're downshifting a little bit. We're going from fifth gear to fourth gear. There's a still a lot of stimulus going on out there from the central bank, but we are on that other side of the curve. Kind of like the economy, we hit really peak great news in the first half of last year. You know, a lot of the real main stimulus from the Fed has taken place, and we're on that other side of that hill right now. So I think that's just what we need to be prepared for when we're talking to our clients as we move forward. The next gauge that we look at is valuations, and that's one that we've kept the same. It has been a negative gauge for us for a few quarters, and just in a slight negative, kind of the slow backward position as you look at our gauges. And the reason why is valuations have been extended. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that they haven't been extended. But we understand in many reasons why. One is we're in a very low interest rate environment. We know low interest rate environments tend to cause PE ratios to go up a little bit higher. You know, that competition for that investor dollar, when yields are low, we tend to see people buy up a little bit more and pay a little bit more in valuation on the stock side. One interesting point about this year is the PE ratio really hasn't moved much for the S&P 500. It's been elevated and it's stayed elevated, but it hasn't expanded further, as we would say. It's really kind of stayed in that same range. And you might say, gosh, with a market that's up 15-20%, why is that? It really has been a year where earnings have driven the stock market forward. And if we think of what we want to drive the stock market forward, earnings is a really good spot. I know, Glenn, you were talking a little bit about some of those growth rates on the earnings side. You know, what are your other thoughts on the valuation front?
Yeah, so if you just look at the PE ratio for the S&P 500 and look at it on a historical basis, it's difficult to make the case that stocks are cheap. In fact, we hit PE levels around 25 at our peak in this cycle, which is about what we were in 1999. The big and important difference is where interest rates are. So if you look at the 10-year treasury in 1999, it was at 6.5%. So bonds were, risk-free treasury bonds were a very competitive asset class to stocks. Today, with a 10-year treasury at 1.5%, stocks still look attractive, as you pointed out, because of these low rate environment. So it's hard, you know, again, it's hard to make the case that stocks are cheap. We're paying full price for good merchandise, as I've said. But if you look outside of just the benchmark or the indices, you can find companies that are attractively valued. And that's where we think that in a fully valued market, delivering alpha is more critical than just beta exposure and trying to identify undervalued companies. So again, the valuation gauge hasn't moved much. It's historically been not a great predictor of changes in directions in the market because it can be sticky. It doesn't move that frequently, but we just want to point out where we are in the valuation cycle. And as you know, we've mentioned, earnings are now growing faster than prices. So the operating PE ratio is actually contracted a little bit, which is pretty typical in this cycle. That brings us to our next gauge, investor sentiment. This gauge improved a few notches, and we actually brought it into the slow forward position. Now, if you remember, investor sentiment is works kind of the opposite way of what you would think. When investors are excited about stocks, that would be a negative for us. And when there's a little bit of fear in the marketplace, that's actually a positive. So what we've seen is this, the market has drifted a little bit from euphoria with stocks or complacency. And we saw that with the VIX index. It drifted actually down into the 14 level intraday in June. And now we've started to see fear creep back into the marketplace. We've had a little bit of volatility pick up towards the end of the quarter. In fact, the VIX closed just above 23. So we're starting to see some evidence of you know, skepticism in the marketplace. It's healthy. It's normal. We had gone for an extended period of time without even a 5% pullback in the marketplace, right? So you know, people got used to stocks just going in one direction. You know, we finally had a just over a 5% pullback, and fear has drifted back in. So again, that's a positive. That tells us we're starting to work our way through this normal corrective process, and gives us some good buying opportunities. Pete?
Yeah, there's a few, you know, indicators that we look at for that investor sentiment. We can look at trading sentiment indicators and see kind of, are they swinging excessive optimism? Are they more neutral? Are they excessive pessimism? So we've seen some of those go from that excessive optimism range to either into that neutral or to the extreme pessimism area. You know, one thing, and I know Glenn, you know, if you have a few comments on this, the money market funds, we've seen a lot of money flow into money market funds, again, to that contrarian indicator, as you have to think about it. When people are getting really defensive and getting a little bit nervous about the market, those are the times where we see that, you know, we think that investor sentiment gauge can be shifted a little bit more to that positive territory because there is that healthy market skepticism out there. You know, I know that's one you talked about, Glenn. I don't know if there's any other final indicators on that sentiment you do look at.
You know, there are about 6 of the last 7 weeks we've seen retail money flowing into the money market funds. And that's generally indicative of a little concern. We had seen a lot of money flowing into stock and bond mutual funds, and now we've seen it start to move towards the safer asset class of money market or short-term money.
Yeah, no, I really thought that was a good point. And, you know, we'll watch to see where is that money flowing, because that can give us an actual sense of what our investors doing. So that's something we keep an eye on. And our next and final gauge is interest rates. And interest rates we keep in that half forward position. This is one that we adjusted earlier in the year, really acknowledging the big move in interest rates higher that we saw in the first quarter. Just as a reminder, the 10-year U.S. Treasury was at 0.93% at the end of 2020. That went up to 1.74% by the end of March in 2021. So a pretty dramatic move higher. We wanted to acknowledge that move higher, and that was when we brought that from a full forward to that half forward position. And this one typically does kind of line up with where monetary policy sits. And we're kind of back in that world again, where they're sitting at the same half forward position as we move into the fourth quarter this year. Overall, when we look at interest rates, we're still in a very low interest rate environment when we look at it with any perspective. We got above 1.5% at the end of the third quarter after we had 4 straight months after the end of the first quarter where interest rates were going down. So we've really had some pretty big swings in interest rates this year, but they have over the last 2 months trended a little bit higher, but they are still in our range of 0.75 to 1.75%, which is kind of that lower for longer range we would thought we would operate in for most of 2021. So yeah, it's moving a little bit to the upper side of that range, but still kind of clearly in that range. The one other part with interest rates, and we could have probably talked about this with the economy side, with monetary policy, with valuations, is inflation. And I know that's a question that Glenn and I get quite often these days. Obviously, inflation is higher than what we've seen in the last 10 plus years. We know post credit crisis, the Fed couldn't get inflation to 2%. They were kind of missing their goal on the bottom side. Now we're above that. And again, the Fed has been really clear in reiterating they believe that inflation is transitory. We do think it is part of this reflation, getting the economy back up and running. Yeah, there's some supply chain disruptions that we're seeing, and that's causing, you know, price distortions in certain parts of the economy. But we think inflation overall is going to kind of head back toward that 2% area over the next couple of years. And even Chairman Powell has said, yeah, it might be a little bit higher than we expected for a little bit longer. But they still, when you look at their projections, are still seeing, you know, two or three years out that inflation will get back towards that trend. So, Glenn, I don't know, any more comments on the interest rate side or inflation?
Yeah, so I think, and they sort of tie together. One of the other key aspects that we consider when we're evaluating the interest rate gauge is the slope of the yield curve. So, you know, the level is important, but also the difference between short-term rates and long-term rates. And what we see, what we saw at the end of the quarter was the three-month bill was about 0.04% yield. 10-year treasury was a tad under 1.5%. So long-term rates higher than short-term rates, positively sloped yield curve. That's generally speaking been a good environment for stocks. What we would expect to happen as the Fed, you know, works through the tapering program, begins to raise rates, is what will normally happen is long-term rates don't change that much and short-term rates will move up. So the yield curve will flatten. That becomes less of a positive environment for stocks. And then when it inverts, that starts to signal a recession sometime down the road. So that's when that gauge would become negative. Now, one of the reasons that longer term rates have drifted up is the expectations of future inflation. So that's clearly getting baked into the yield curve. We'll keep an eye on that. We continue to take the position that we can navigate through an inflationary cycle from an investment standpoint. The key thing to consider, the key risk for investors, is not being invested. Right? It's earning that short-term money in the bank where it's basically earning nothing, and you're losing 4 or 5% of purchasing power every year that's on the sideline. So, I think the biggest thing people should fear on the inflation standpoint is not having their money at work. When you buy stocks, you can buy companies that have the ability to pass along price increases to their clients and maintain profit margins. That's the best way to offset inflation. So right now, just to summarize everything, we have 4 positive gauges and 1 negative. That tells us the intermediate term still looks solid for stocks. Doesn't mean we can't have our normal volatility in the market. We could have our pullbacks like we just saw, the 5% pullback. That's normal part of being an equity investor. But overall, the fundamentals still look solid. So thank you for joining. Patty, I'll turn it back to you.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Well, lots of important takeaways in that conversation. Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. And thank you for tuning in and watching. If you have any questions or if there's anything we can help you with, please contact your client portfolio management team or your investment consultant. We're here to help you help your clients navigate the markets. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.